Welcome back. In this lesson, we're diving into the subweight method for arranging an FX chain in Ableton Live 12, with a very specific goal, making jungle and old-school DNB bass lines feel heavy, alive, and mix-safe at the same time. And that's the key idea right there. We're not just designing a bass sound. We're designing a bass performance. The sub is the weight. The mids are the motion. The FX are the personality. If you can keep those jobs separated, your bass line will hit harder, translate better, and feel way more like a classic record instead of a static loop. Now, in old-school jungle and DNB, the bass is never just a flat layer sitting underneath the drums. It's part of the momentum. It pushes, it answers, it rocks out, it comes back in with attitude. So the subweight method is all about keeping the low end solid while letting the upper character evolve across the arrangement. Let's build this in a practical way. First, create a bass instrument rack with at least two chains. One chain is your sub, the other is your mid-bass or res layer. If you want a third layer later for fizz, noise, or top movement, cool, but start with two. For the sub chain, keep it simple. Use something like operator, waveitable, or analog. Choose a sine wave or something very close to it. Keep it mono. No chorus. No stereo spread. No fancy unison. The whole point is that this layer should be boring on purpose. That doesn't mean weak. It means dependable. It should never surprise the mix. A good sub is like a good foundation in a building. Nobody notices it until it's gone. A solid starting point is to keep the sub peaking around -12 to -8 dB before any master processing. That gives you room to work. Put EQ8 on it if needed, but don't overdo it. Maybe a very small cleanup if there's mud in the context of the track. Then put utility after that and set the width to 0. That locks it dead center. Now for the mid-chain. This is where the attitude lives. Use waveitable, drift, analog, or even a resampled res texture. Detuned saws are a classic move here. Slight unison is fine. You just don't want the mids to become so wide and smeared that they fight the drums. A strong mid-bass chain might go something like this. EQ8, then saturator, then autofilter, then maybe chorus ensemble or facer flanger. If you need a tiny bit of width or movement, then echo for occasional throws and utility at the end for level control or width shaping if needed. Here's the big rule. Keep the sub clean and let the mid layer do the expressive work. If both layers are heavily processed together, the bass gets unpredictable. In DNB, unpredictability in the wrong place means weak kick interaction, muddy low mids, and a drop that doesn't land properly. Now let's talk about how the bass line itself should be written. For jungle and old school DNB, the bass line often works best when it feels like it's speaking to the break. Don't just hold long notes all the time unless that's a very deliberate atmospheric move. Instead, write short motifs. Try one bar or two bar ideas. Leave holes for the snare. Leave space for the kick. Let the break breathe. A really strong approach is to create an anchor and reply feel. One bar carries the downbeat or the main weight. Then the next bar answers later in the measure. That kind of phrasing creates movement without overcrowding the drums. Think in terms of rhythm first, then tone second. As you program the MIDI, use note lengths that are short enough to feel punchy. An eighth note to a quarter note is often a good starting point. Add velocity variation too. You don't want every note hitting like a brick. Some notes should be accents, some should be ghost-like, and some should feel like little pickups into a phrase change. That variation matters more than people think. Old-school bass feels alive because it's not perfectly uniform. It has shape. Now here's where the subweight method really starts to shine. Automation. But not automation on everything. Only automate the layer that needs to move. Keep the sub mostly steady. If the sub has to disappear for a fill, do it with a short fade or a deliberate mute. Don't start drawing crazy sweeps on the sub unless the whole point is a special effect. In most cases, the sub should stay grounded. On the mid-chain, though, go to town in a controlled way. Automate the auto filter cutoff. Automate saturator drive. Automate utility width if you're using it on the mids. Automate device on and off for special hits or transition moments. For example, in a drop, you might open the filter from around 250 Hz up to around 1.8 kHz over 4 bars. That gives the bass more presence without making it louder in a dumb way. Then in the 8-bar variation, maybe push the saturator drive up a bit, from around 3 dB to 7 dB, so the bass gets more rude and more present. That kind of energy lift is perfect for jungle and dark rollers. You can also create tension by briefly narrowing the mids or dropping the overall bass gain by a decibel or two before a new section. That subtle pullback makes the return feel bigger. It's a classic production trick, Reduce the energy just enough, and the re-entry feels massive. Now, if you want that authentic old-school grime, resampling is your friend. Alive, that classic jungle texture comes from the sound being printed, chopped, and reworked. So here's a great workflow. Bounce your mid-bass phrase to audio. Resample it. Then chop tiny fragments and rearrange them. Keep an ear on the transients. Don't warp everything to death. Let it breathe naturally where possible. Then process the resampled audio with stock devices like Saturator, DrumBus, or Redux. DrumBus is great for adding density, but be careful with the boom control. You do not want to cloud the sub or blur the kick relationship. Redux can give you a subtle crunchy edge if used in parallel or very lightly. Saturator with soft clip-on is still one of the simplest ways to get more harmonic attitude without destroying the groove. A very smart move is to build three versions of the same phrase: a clean version, a crunchy version, and a short fill version. Then arrange those like a DJ would: long pressure sections, then a chopped, reactive moment, then back into the main drive. That contrast is what makes the bass feel like it's performing. Another big part of the subweight method is parallel effects. Don't destroy your main bass chain with every effect in the project. Instead, send selected notes or phrase endings to return tracks. For example, create one return for bass texture. Put auto filter, saturator, echo, and maybe a very subtle reverb on it if needed. Then create another return for transition effects with delay, auto filter, maybe phaser flanger or grain delay, and utility for control. Use those sends only on special moments. End of phrase stabs, tiny fill notes before the drop. A reverse feel throw into a switch up that gives you the feeling of bass trailing off into space without washing out the main drop. Now let's talk about arrangement, because this method is just as much about structure as it is about sound design. A good DNB arrangement might start with a 16 to 32 bar intro where you tease the subweight with filtered hints, breaks, and atmosphere. Then an 8-bar build where the mid-bass texture starts to appear, but the sub stays restrained. Then a full drop, where the bass and drums lock together. After that, an 8-bar variation where you change the phrasing, remove a bass accent, or add an octave jump. Then a breakdown or tension section where the bass pulls back, creating space for the next rebuild. And then drop 2, which can bring back the heaviest version with a bit more grit or a new note pattern. That structure is huge in jungle and old-school DNB, because the bass line feels like it's moving through phrases, not just looping endlessly. When you're arranging, ask yourself, where is the anchor, and where is the reply? Where is the tension, and where is the release? Is this bar supposed to carry weight, or should it leave space? That question alone can make your bass arrangement 10 times better. Now let's talk mix context, because in DNB the bass is never judged in isolation. It has to work against the break. This is where people often go wrong. They make a bass sound huge on its own, but when the drums come in, the whole thing falls apart. Usually that means too much low mid buildup, too much stereo width, or not enough rhythmic discipline. Use EQ8 to control mud, especially around the 200 to 400 Hz area if the break is dense. Keep the sub mono with utility. If you need sidechain compression, keep it musical and subtle, and always check the bass in mono. If the line disappears or gets weak, you probably lean too hard on stereo processing or overly complex phase movement. A spectrum device on the bass bus can be really helpful. Compare it against the drums. If the bass feels massive soloed but weak in the drop, don't just turn it up. First, simplify the rhythm or reduce masking. If it's audible but not heavy, strengthen the sub stability instead of just boosting volume. That's a very important distinction. In DNB, more volume is not the same as more weight. A few advanced coaching notes here. Treat the bass rack like a performance surface. Map your key controls to macros. Things like mid-bass drive, filter cutoff, send mount, and phrase mute are perfect macro candidates. In Live 12, that means you can actually perform the bass movement instead of drawing every tiny automation line manually. Also, use different jobs for different layers. Sub is weight, mid is attitude, top fizz or noise is perception of speed. Effects returns are transition glue. When you think that way, decisions get easier fast, and don't underestimate transient shape. In old school DNB, the attack of the bass matters. A slightly snappier start on the mid layer can make the groove feel much more record-like. A shorter amp envelope can make a simple line feel much more urgent. Tiny changes, big impact. Here's a quick practice approach. Build a 2-bar bass motif. Keep it simple. Make sure it leaves room for the snare and at least one break accent. Then automate only the mid layer. Open the filter from around 300 Hz to 1.5 kHz. Increase saturator drive from around 2 dB to 6 dB. Duplicate the phrase across 8 bars and make one variation. Remove one note, add one octave jump, and insert one short fill at the end of bar 4 or 8. Then resample one pass of the mid-chain and chop a tiny fragment into a transition. Finally, check everything in mono and adjust until the sub remains solid. If you can make that loop feel like a real DNB drop with progression, not just a static bass preset, then you're using the subweight method properly. So let's recap the core idea. Split the bass into a clean sub and a moving mid or res layer. Keep the sub mono, stable, and simple. Use Ableton's stock devices to shape character in a controlled way. Arrange the bass in phrases, not endless loops. Automate tone and aggression instead of just volume. Resample for grime and variation. And always check how the bass works against the break and kick in context.